It's great to see all of you here in the house of the Lord. I want to say it's great to be here. I give honor to the McCoy family. I'm going to say some more comments in the main service regarding all of that. My wonderful wife, Rebecca, my oldest boy, Jasper, he is 13, and my middle son, Benjamin's 10, and then my youngest is 8. They prayed for me last night that I might be able to impart some teaching and preaching to this wonderful church. I feel a great spirit here, and their exact words when they prayed were, "We're praying that Daddy will be able to feed the people spiritual food." So that is my desire, is to be able to give you some spiritual food this morning. Is that all right? Can you receive some spiritual food this morning from the Word of God? I want to go before the Lord in prayer. I want to pray that He will anoint our ears that we may hear this teaching this morning. I'm going to go ahead and just teach the Word of God here, and then I'm going to preach in the main service. Feel a certain direction in the Holy Ghost for both. And I want us to pray that the Lord will anoint our ears that we may hear and receive from the Word of God. The Word of God is anointed, but we've got to pray that our ears are anointed so we can hear and receive in our hearts. Amen? Why don't we lift our hands right now and go before the Lord? Let's march boldly before the throne of grace. Tell Him what we have need of. Lord, I'm asking You to anoint our ears this morning that we may hear and that we may receive. I'm asking, Lord, that You'll prepare our hearts for the impartation of Your Word. As we rightly divide Your Word, God, I'm able, Lord, to portray what You want me to portray and decree what You want me to decree and declare what You want me to declare. I'm praying for Your anointing. We ask it in the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus. Can you clap your hands to the Lord? Praise God. Turn around and shake somebody's hand before you seat and tell them you've come to receive something from the Word this morning. You can be seated. I'm going to teach on this title, How to Treat the Pastor. How to Treat the Pastor. I'm going to teach something that is really not taught very often. Many pastors shy away from teaching it, not because it isn't biblical, it is very biblical, but because they feel if they were to do this that it would be self-serving. Now, I'm a little different than most pastors. I actually taught this to my church. Many pastors sometimes get kind of uncomfortable teaching on how to treat the pastor. But I feel I'm in a different office this morning coming here, and I want to impart this to this body. It is a spiritual thing to put someone else's needs above your own. It is spiritual to care about in a real practical way for someone else. It is spiritual to do what the Bible says to do. It is a spiritual thing to treat the man of God the way that the Bible says that they need to be treated. So I've got a few questions this morning. Is it God's plan to have a pastor? Is it God's way to call out a certain man of God to be your pastor? Is it God's plan to have people for that pastor to lead? Does God have the ability to put His man where He wants him to be with people that He wants him to lead? The answer to every one of these questions is yes, and a sounding yes. Does God care how the pastor leads his flock? Sure. Do you think God cares how the people of God treat the man of God? Yes, absolutely so. It does matter to God how you treat His called out man. And that is what we're going to look at here for the next few moments. We're going to look at this in the Word of God. The first point that I want to make, the first thing that I want to say is, first of all, we are to love Him. The Apostle Paul is writing to his church, and at the end of the letter, he writes, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 In verse 27, I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. What the Apostle Paul was trying to impart, what he was trying to teach to the body, is it is important for all the brethren to hear. He wants them to all hear these instructions, these directions from the Word of God. And of course, the implication of hearing the Word of God is that we will lend an ear to it and that we will heed to it and we will step out and do it. The Apostle Paul gave them a charge by the Lord. What does that mean? That means that it is an order. It is a commandment. Take this letter and make sure that all the believers in the church hear it. The Apostle Paul was saying, this is a very serious matter. He's saying this is very serious, and the believers need to be informed about these things. There are so many topics that are covered here in this letter. They are all very important. But today, we're going to look at verse 12, and we're going to look at verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 12 says, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you. To beseech means to entreat. It's supplication, to implore, to ask, or to pray with urgency. The Apostle Paul is imploring them with all urgency on this matter. It is extremely important, and he wants them to respond right away to the teaching of the Word of God and this declaration. He is beseeching them to first know them which labor among you and are over you and in the Lord and admonish you. So who is he talking about? There in that letter, he is talking about the pastor. Everybody say the pastor. It says you are to know him. That means that, and it is implying that you have a pastor. A lot of people want a preacher in their life, but they don't want a pastor in their life. God does have an authority structure in the body of Christ. He calls a man and he puts him over you in the Lord. And this man, it says here, he admonishes you. To admonish means to teach, to warn, to notify of a fault. That kind of sounds like preaching to me, right? To admonish sometimes is not a fun thing to do. It is not easy to stand up behind the pulpit and admonish the flock from time to time when God calls you to do that. And even sometimes a pastor has to pull someone aside and they have to admonish them in private counsel. I want to tell you that is not enjoyable, but that is part of what God has called a pastor to do. That is part of what God has called your pastor, your shepherd to do, is to admonish you. And the key that unlocks the door for miracles in your life is when he admonishes you, you love him. So we are to recognize the pastor's position that God has placed over us in the Lord. We are to recognize his place and our place. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 13 says, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And the Bible says, and be at peace among yourselves. Everybody say peace. So we are beseeched to esteem the pastor very highly in love. And of course, this is talking about biblical love, which is a far different thing than the emotion that the world calls love. If you want to know what the Bible means when it talks about love, then look to the Bible and let that define that word. We are beseeched to love the pastor. So let's look at what the Bible calls love. To define love, let's first consider the next verse and the greatest verse in the Bible, John chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So, first, love is a choice. Romans 5 and 8 says, but God commandeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
He chose to love us before we were ever lovely. In fact, while we were even unlovable, we were sinners. We were at odds with God. We were at enmity with God. He cared for us. We cared nothing for Him. We rejected Him at every turn, but He still loved us. And Christ still died for us. James 4:4 says, "Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God." So righteous, Romans 3:10 says, "And it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." Romans 3:11 says, "There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God." Romans 3:12 says, "They are all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." Before being saved, we were at odds with God. We were at a place and a position. A lot of us rejected God. In fact, the Apostle Paul says in Romans 7:18, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh," that's what that verse is talking about, "there dwelleth no good thing." So when we are without the baptism of the Holy Ghost, when we are without being baptized in Jesus' name, we are at enmity with God. We are walking according to the flesh and not in the Spirit, with no good thing in us, for God so loved the world that He still gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. I don't know about you, but that screams out to me an example of true love. He loved us because He chose to love us. The love the Bible talks about is a choice here. And you are to love your man of God. Are you teaching this or preaching this because you feel something, Brother Bernardini? No, this is just something good for all of us to hear. We live in a day and age where carnality is running rampant. The message of the hour is to rebel and be unsubmitted. But if we could learn to truly love the man of God that God has placed over us, we won't have a problem with submission. We won't have a problem with what the Word of God says. So you are to love your pastor. It is a choice. Some may say, "Well, when he starts paying special attention to me, then I might think about loving him. He has to earn the right for me to love him." There is an attitude in that that's totally against the Word of God. Biblical love does not require the object of the love to earn it. Biblical love does not require the object of the love to earn it. Love does not require that the one loved be worthy or even be lovable. And praise for the Lord for that, or we would be all on our way to a devil's hell. So we are to love our pastor, and loving him is a choice. Love starts with a choice. We have a choice. God chose to love us regardless of who we were. So after the choice to love, then comes the action. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave." Biblical love demands action. Everybody say action. So love that never acts is not real love at all. Mankind had a great need. He needed to be saved from sin. He needed to be saved from himself. And out of God's love, He did an action. He gave. He provided a way for us to be saved from sin. He provided a way for us to enter into a redemption plan. He gave of himself. He robed himself in flesh, and he came down from a heavenly paradise to an earthly kingdom, and he went to the cross, and he died upon the cross for our sins. He provided a way for us to be restored. And out of his great love, he gave the greatest gift there is. Biblical love is a choice, and it gives to the needs of others. So you are to love your pastor. Your pastor is a man just like you. Yes, he has a special calling upon his life, but he is still a man, and he still has needs like the rest of us. For one thing, I need encouragement from time to time just like you do. Your pastor needs encouragement from time to time just like you do. First, love is a choice. Second, it acts. And then next, love, it gives. Third, love sacrifices. Everybody say sacrifices. So it's a choice. Then there is an action that has to be committed, which means love gives. And then third, sacrifice. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. Any sacrifice that we make, it is insignificant compared to John 3:16. It was the greatest sacrifice of all. We are to love our pastor. One way to love him is to sacrifice. We are to give financially so he can be supported. This ministry needs your support. There's some people that have the rotten idea that we need to keep the pastor poor so we can keep him humble. That is not love. You are to love your pastor. We have looked at the greatest verse in the Word of God here this morning and seen that love that the Bible talks about is a choice, and it gives and it sacrifices. Let's look at some verses from the greatest chapter on love in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 13:4 says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vanteth not itself. It is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own and is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. So you are to love your pastor. That means that you are to have patience with him. Charity suffereth long. Love him anyways. Regardless of if you don't agree or not. If he has a bad message, which I'm highly doubting because I've heard Brother McCoy preach, give the man a break. It also says that love is kind. You should be kind to your pastor. And also, I want to say this. If you want to be kind to your pastor, then you need to be kind to the pastor's family. You need to be kind to his wife. You need to be kind to his children. You need to respect his family, his wife, his children. The Bible tells us to love the pastor. And again, biblical love is not just an emotion. Love is kind. Love says nice things. Love does nice things. I love verse 5. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. It is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Some people get mad at the pastor because they wanted, you know, the walls of the church to be a different color. What in the world is that all about? I'll tell you what it's about. They're seeking their own will. The Bible says that love does not do that. We are to love the pastor. Verse 5 says that it is not easily provoked. Don't yell at the pastor. Don't get angry with the pastor. Love the pastor. And if anybody else does that, then you need to protect your pastor. There's people that got mad at the church and left the church. Yes, we are trying to win them back and see full restoration. But I want to tell you, if they're throwing stones at the church, they're throwing stones at your pastor, you need to stand up for him, because that is love that produces action. Because guess what? They're talking about you because you're a part of the church. That means, you know, if you don't agree with some choice or decision, then you just need to let it go. Don't gossip about it, because guess what? You're not privy to all the information. You don't get all of the information. There have been choices and decisions that I have made as a pastor that the whole body did not know. And I had to make those choices based upon the peace of that body, based upon the longevity of somebody's soul in the kingdom, somebody that was looking our way or somebody that was on the verge of possibly backsliding if I made a wrong choice. We're not privy to all the information, so don't go around. I'm not talking about major doctrinal issues. I'm talking about the hundreds of decisions that a pastor has to make all of the time. Is that all right? So support him. Don't be easily provoked. Love the pastor. Verse 5 says, thinketh no evil. Some wicked people love to tell rumors. They love to stretch the truth. And if you ever hear something bad about the pastor or his family or his children, your first reaction should be to this: thinketh no evil. That's what that scripture is talking about. Don't jump to conclusions. Don't race to think something bad about somebody. Love the pastor. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. Never listen to gossip about the pastor or his wife. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Guess what? Yes, nobody is perfect. But we are to love each other as the Word of God and the Scripture says that we are to love each other. All too often, there are a lot of people that don't treat the man of God the right way. They've never really considered the fact that the Bible tells us to love the pastor the way that it does. And what does that really mean? We should love the man of God that God has put over us with a godly, caring, kind of working, biblical kind of love. We are to love the man of God. We are to respect the pastor. Everybody say respect. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 13 says, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. So we are to esteem the pastor very highly. Men of God should be held in high esteem. To esteem is to put a high value on, to regard with reverence and respect. So we are to respect the pastor, have a high regard for him. Speaking against him to others is not pleasing to God. We should treat him with respect in the church house and in the drive home in the car. The man of God should be treated as such. Galatians 4 and 13 says, you know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. Verse 14, and my temptation which was in my flesh ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. This church has received, the Apostle Paul stated it very well, an angel of God. Galatians 4 and 15 says, where is then the blessedness ye spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, ye would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. What does that mean? What is that scripture trying to declare? They had respect for the preacher and would have done anything for him. The people of God are to receive and to respect the man of God. Philippians 2 and 28 says, I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again, you may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Verse 29 says, "Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness and hold such in reputation." The Apostle Paul was sending them a man of God, and they were to receive him and respect him. Our main verse this morning tells us to esteem the pastor very highly in love. That is what God has done here for you. He has sent a man of God here, and he is in the right place at the right time for end time apostolic revival. You are to love him. You are to respect him. So it says to esteem the pastor very highly in love. Then it tells us why. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and 13, "And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And be at peace among yourselves." So for the work's sake. Everybody say for the work's sake. Winning souls and doing the work of God and building up those that have been saved in the faith is more important than anything. It's a whole lot easier to preach to people and to love people who love you back. I believe this church loves their pastor. And guess what? When you love him, he's going to work harder. He's going to preach harder. Because he loves you. He loves your soul. God has sent you a man of God that you are to esteem. I believe that a church that really loves their pastor with a real working biblical love will have God's blessings upon it. And I said all of that, I taught all of this to say this morning. I feel the blessings of God are about to fall from out of the windows of heaven upon this local congregation. I believe God is going to be pleased with us when you love the man of God that God has sent you. And that can open a door for a dimension of miracles and signs and wonders like you have never seen before. And finally, in verse 13, we see the results. "And be at peace among yourselves." I'm not saying that if everybody in the church loves the pastor correctly, that there will not be issues, there will not be trials and storms. There's going to be trials. There's going to be storms. But God, yes, is going to allow some tares to be sown among the wheat, but putting everyone loving the pastor with a real biblical love sure goes a long way towards a church having peace among its members and opening a door for the supernatural to begin to operate and begin to manifest like it has never done before. Do you want to be a church that operates in the supernatural? Do you want to be a church that operates in the miraculous? Do you want to have a season of miracles and signs and wonders like you've never experienced, like you've never seen? Come on, we have to have ourselves in the right place and the right position like we have never done before. Whenever King Herod had Jesus come before him, the Bible says that Jesus answered him not a word. I just recently had somebody come to me and say something that was totally against the will of God for their life. They were an unsubmitted person. They began to tell me that the Lord had been speaking to them, giving them this direction, and there were so many signs that had manifested. They had fleeced God, and the signs had unraveled right before their very eyes. And I looked at this individual and I said, "There is absolutely no way that God is speaking to you." I said, "You're not even submitted. God cannot speak to someone that is not submitted." And the Lord began to show me revelation in His Word to further along how he doesn't speak to somebody that is not submitted. Jesus did not open his mouth and say one word to King Herod. Why is that so? It's because before that, Herod had beheaded and cut off the head of John the Baptist. John the Baptist was his man of God. It was his prophet, his pastor in his life, and he had silenced that voice. And so Jesus did not have one thing to say to him. If we put ourselves into a position where we silence the voice of the man of God in our life, no matter how much we think God is speaking to us, he is not. If things would have turned out different and King Herod would have chose a different approach, can you imagine hearing the voice of the Master? Can you imagine the miracles that he could have tapped into? Can you imagine the supernatural that would have been handed to him on the palm of his hand? Because everywhere Jesus went, he was working miracles and signs and wonders. But I find in that situation, that place, that passage in the Word of God, he answered him not a word. Because King Herod was not submitted. The message of this end time hour is submission. Because it is going to unlock the door for the miraculous in the last days. If you want to be a church of harvest, if you want to be a church of the infillings of the Holy Ghost, if you want to be a church where we're baptizing people in Jesus' name, I'm not talking about a sporadic move of God. I'm talking about every single day. That is Book of Acts. Every single day. The Bible says they added to the church daily. I'm talking about other days other than just midweek service or other than Sunday. I'm talking about coming up here on Mondays and Tuesdays and Thursdays and Fridays when, you know, normally the doors of the church are locked. But guess what? Somebody's wanting a Bible study. Somebody's wanting to be baptized in Jesus' name. Somebody's wanting the gift of the Holy Ghost. How submitted are we? Because it unlocks the door for the miraculous to transpire. Is there somebody here this morning that will stand at their feet and say, I want to be some more submitted than I've ever been before. I want to have the right biblical love for the man of God that God has placed in my life. I want to be what God wants me to be. I want to do what God wants me to do. Lord, help me, Lord, to step out and receive the anointing of the Holy Ghost from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. God, help me, Lord, to be anointed. Help me, God, to be equipped with the power of the Holy Ghost. Help me to be in that rightful posture and position where I'm submitted so the miraculous can begin to unfold. The supernatural can begin to be manifested. I'm asking for it right now in the name that is above every name, in the name of Jesus Christ. I want you to lift your hands all across this building right now. I want us to begin to pray in closing. Lord, help us to be what you want us to be. Help us to do what you want us to do. Help us to treat the man of God right. Help us, Lord, to be submitted. Lord, and if we have done something that you don't approve of, we repent right now. We ask you to forgive us. Help us, Lord, to be what you want us to be, to do what you want us to do. As we rightly divide the word, help us to apply the word to our lives. Let the seed of the word of God get into the cracks and the crevices and the soils of our soul. Help it to find a lodging place, God. Help it to take root. Give us strong roots, God. Give us stability, God. Lord, give us commitment. Give us faithfulness. Help us to be what you want us to be, God, and do what you want us to do. Unlock the door to a dimension of the miraculous
and the supernatural like we have never witnessed before. We ask it right now in Jesus' name. Can you lift your hands and lift your voices and begin to praise Him? Can you begin to magnify Him right now? Can you lift your voice and worship the Almighty God? He is great and greatly to be praised. Oh, that's it. Magnify Him together right now.